Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon of Cananaean, the Cananaean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As the congregation is seated, I invite all my young friends forward for a children's message. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. After receiving a dozen or so appeals this week asking me to volunteer my time or my money for different charitable organizations, I decided to do some researching. And so I searched top ways to get volunteers. And I kid you not, the first 10 pages of Google search results were filled with explanations on how to get more volunteers for your organization. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is in the same predicament that many volunteer coordinators have. We are told that he has been going to all the villages, proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, and he has been curing all sorts of illnesses. He was basically the sole volunteer for a new nonprofit. He was getting people excited about God's kingdom, telling everyone he saw about it. But he was also the only one who was going about doing any work of this new kingdom. So he gathered his disciples and he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In fact, there's only one laborer that's doing the work. So what I want the 12 of you to do is to pray and to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So the disciples do this. They bow their heads and they pray that God will send some people just like Jesus to help out in this new kingdom. Amen. Then they open their eyes and they lift up their bowed heads, and Jesus says to them, "Thanks for volunteering." He knows how to get them. And if Jesus is quick to recruit the very people who pray to God to do something in this world, it makes you think about how we should pray, doesn't it? If he's going to just recruit us. Anyway, Jesus, he found 12 others to join him in the work of God's kingdom here on earth. And let me tell you, these were the best 12 people that anyone could have assembled. They all had great references and credentials, and they were all well-versed in how to do the tasks at hand. And I'm sorry, I think I got a little mixed up here. These actually weren't the best of anyone out there. These were just the 12 that were available. Their credentials weren't very impressive. It starts with Simon Peter, a fisher, who's going to deny Jesus 3 times. And the list of the 12 ends with Judas Iscariot, who is going to betray Jesus. Okay, well, maybe the middle of the list will get a little bit better. Well, the brothers James and John, they're kind of known for their sibling rivalry. Bartholomew and Thaddeus, well, we're not going to hear about them anymore. Okay, I admit it. that these are not actually the best candidates imaginable. They were simply the only 12 people available. I guess that's the best that we can make of this, that the key is not what the disciples are able to bring to the task themselves, but what Jesus can do in and through them. These guys had little going for them, except that they were bonded together by being on board with this work that Jesus was doing. And that is what was most important to them, Jesus and his proclamation of the good news. And how do we know that this was the most important thing to them? Because of who two of these disciples were. One of them was called the second Simon, who is elsewhere described as Simon the Zealot. And who were the Zealots? They were the Jews who were militarily opposed to the Roman occupation of Israel. They were the insurgents who would undermine the Roman occupation at any chance they would get. And then there was Matthew the tax collector, who by the nature of his profession was in cahoots with those very same Roman occupiers. So right there, among the 12 disciples were two who were diametrically opposed on the most politically charged issue of their time. Yet these two still found their greater purpose in Jesus and his proclamation. And this gives me hope for Christians today that we can realize that the proclamation of Jesus is still far more important than any kind of political feuding. Jesus had gathered a motley crew of 12 disciples, and it certainly was not by their own power that they had success. It was Jesus working through them. It had to be him. It had to be him. Just look at the job description that they were given. They were supposed to proclaim the good news, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. That has to be the most unachievable job description ever composed. And it's for volunteers. It had to be Jesus at work through them, because only he can accomplish those things. Which leads us to another point. In one understanding, to be sent by Jesus is to be sent as Jesus. To be sent by Jesus is to be sent as Jesus. When we are sent from this meal right here to go into the world to serve in Christ's name, we're not going out as Chris or David or Sarah to do our own thing. We are sent as ambassadors of Jesus, representing him into this world. And somewhat ironically, Jesus doesn't seem to be greatly concerned if we are less than fully informed about what this message is. Those original 12 didn't have a mental grasp of what this new kingdom truly was. They saw that Jesus had been doing some great things and they heard his proclamation, but they still didn't get what the kingdom of heaven meant. Even though they didn't fully comprehend the vision for this new movement, Jesus sent them anyway to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And why would Jesus send intellectually ill-equipped disciples out into the world? It's because there is an urgency to get this message out there. He has a need to make sure the kingdom of heaven comes close to all people. There is such an urgency to get this proclamation out into the world that Jesus will send not entirely informed disciples, disciples who would otherwise be at each other's throats, and disciples with non-existent credentials. That is a recipe for disaster for any organization, except for the fact that Jesus was with them. And the same holds true today. Even on this side of Easter, we have a difficult time intellectually grasping what God's kingdom is. We are still prone to being at one another's throats. And many of us might think that we don't have a very good background to be a disciple. Yet Christ calls you and sends you to proclaim God's kingdom in word and in deed. It is Christ in you that will empower you. As the saying goes, Jesus doesn't call the equipped. Jesus equips the called. Jesus doesn't call the equipped. Jesus equips the called. Jesus saw an urgency in his message, and he needed more than himself to be part of this proclamation. This is because that world didn't really grasp the grace of God. It had no understanding of a God who loves this world so much that redemption is offered through the only Son. There today is still an urgency in proclaiming God's kingdom. This world has plenty of pain, hunger, grief, and despair. The harvest is indeed plentiful. There are so many places in this world and in us where God's light still needs to be revealed. So how are we being sent out? I think the first thing to do is to listen to our prayers in worship. We list many of the needs of the world, and eventually God will place it in our hearts to do the work that addresses that need. This world must hear that God cares for it, that God stands with those who experiences the injustices of this world, that the Son died for this world and rose again in order to offer new life to it. This world needs disciples who are not sent by Jesus, but sent as Jesus into the world. This message is so important that Jesus worked through 12 ill-prepared disciples, and Jesus got amazing results. And Jesus is still sending out disciples to proclaim God's kingdom. You and I probably view ourselves as flawed and faulty choices to do this work. But that isn't going to stop Jesus from doing amazing work through us anyway. We can give praise to God for this. Thanks be to God. Amen.